Welcome to Phi Gravity, listeners. This is Juliana Sauber. I am back again, and I'm so excited to introduce you to Tilly Storm. Tilly's got this amazing podcast that I discovered along the way called The Multi-Orgasmic Mama. And she has this amazing website and great program to help women with lack of confidence, with low libido, with guilt and shame around sexuality, and that might be a cause of bedroom woes, which I think is a common challenge for women. Tilly can help you get your mojo and your magnetic feminine self spark back with magic miracles and total self-love included. So thank you, Tilly. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I was looking at different kinds of podcasts and continuing to help myself be educated and learn more, and came across your podcast Quite as the Universe Tends to Connect People the Way They're Meant to be Connected, and was excited that you're talking about sexuality and feminine power in a way that very few people are talking about. And so that was a great big part of the reason why I wanted to invite you to be part of this conversation, so we can talk to it more and allow more women to have a voice in this. So welcome. We just can't wait to see where we're going to go with this conversation.
Me too.
So how did you get started working with libido and sexuality and feminine power?
I remember after having two kids and being married for the second time, I was maybe 27, and I kept thinking, is this really all there is to sex? I was like, huh, I can't imagine living another 60 years and this is it. This is all, this is all it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just really this this lack of depth and sexuality that was just missing. Right. I felt a little awkward and weird. I've always been an awkward and weird person, and I don't know, I found this book on Amazon that I bought called like Female Ejaculation. I'm like, what the hell is that?
That's awesome.
It was like literally the first book I read on female sexuality. It was like,
wow,
about all of these things, and they were completely over my head. And I'm like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
what do you mean sex not being about a goal of orgasm? Like, I don't know what she's talking about. And I just realized then and there that, oh my God, I have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And then I came across the Jade Egg practice, which I'm sure we'll talk more about.
Yeah.
But the Jade Egg is just a little egg-shaped stone that you use inside of your pussy, and you do different squeezes, releases, and breathwork practices, like a Kegel ball. A lot of people have used Kegel balls before.
Yeah.
And it helps improve tone and strength in your vagina, which is directly related to the, you know, how long-lasting and strong your orgasms are. So a lot of women that feel desensitized or numb in their vaginas, often they just need to like tone and strengthen their pelvic floor some, and they'll feel better. So I started learning the Jade Egg practice extensively and just had this massive sexual awakening where I could only orgasm in one way before, and I could not orgasm from masturbating at all. Like, it had to be with a partner and in a certain position. And then after doing Jade Egg practices for 2 months, I became very multi-orgasmic. I started having all sorts of different types of orgasms. I really started to have a spiritual awakening type of experience as well, like the Kundalini awakenings and stuff like that. And I didn't really know what it was at the time, but curiosity is what got me into it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And a desire not to be bored, right?
Yep.
To your point, I think a lot of people, our anniversary is in a week, 26 years together, 28 years together. And, you know, you think about, and I know where I'm not alone in this, your question, like, is this all there is? Can there be some more fun to this? And can I enjoy it more? And I have talked with a lot of women who don't enjoy it at all, who, if anything else, they might dread that engagement in sex. So where does that come from? Like, where do you start with coming off of a place of I dread this encounter with my significant other.
Oh my gosh. Well, it is a long journey to go from I don't know why I dread sex with my partner that I love and having absolutely no idea and then actually healing it. But I can tell you that reading books, listening to podcasts, and going to talk therapy is not the solution to your problem.
Right?
I can tell you that also what is not the solution to your problem is buying sexy lingerie and trying new positions in the bedroom.
Right?
That's not going to solve your problem either, sweetheart.
No. I mean, so many people, myself included, have such body image challenges that the idea of we have this vogue image of if I don't look like that in lingerie, there's no way I'm putting myself into that. Mm-hmm. So I know body image plays a large role in that.
Well, a lot does. And it's nothing that you see on surface level advice channels or outlets like Cosmo Magazine or whatever the hell else you're looking at. I don't know. But that is just a bunch of advice from people that don't really understand human sexuality, that it's very deeply ingrained. There's so much shame and oppression of women's sexual expression and power. Mm-hmm. That's what patriarchy has done for thousands of years is to make us forget our power. Yeah. And that for women lies in our sexual power. And so it's really, really been repressed for many, many years. So even if you haven't grown up in a religious environment where maybe you had parents that were pretty great at talking to you about sex, it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. In every single culture on this planet, there's not a single one of them that is a sex positive, inclusive culture. Yeah. There are, and I think it's funny because women, I work with women all over the world, and I get women from, say I talked to a Thai woman the other day, and she's like, it's my culture that we're so repressed. I'm like, no, honey, it's everybody's culture that we're so repressed. It doesn't matter where you got raised, you have sexual repression.
Yeah.
And, that goes deep in the unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And therefore it takes going deep enough to reach and talk to the unconscious mind in order to unearth your pleasure and your desire. So women, for example, like you said, like I dread having sex with my partner. Well, that will often happen because of a shutdown, an unconscious shutdown of your sexuality because of trauma or negative conditioning over time. Mm-hmm. So sure. Those are the two things that shut it down are negative conditioning that you're not even aware of and trauma that can be a big T trauma, like you had a bad experience, or little T trauma where you experienced a lot of subtle experiences that you didn't really consider even bad at the time. Or that, it was just that one little thing he did, but it happened multiple times, or maybe it didn't even happen multiple times, but it had an impact on you. Unconsciously.
Yeah.
And that's what shuts it down.
Yeah. I wonder if our approach to sex education has a piece of the influence because it's become so mechanical and so fear-based. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. Then we're afraid to be ourselves in so many cases.
Yeah, they're all sex ed programs that I've seen. I mean, I'll have a seventh grader this year, so I'm very excited to see what his sex ed program is in a very liberal, progressive school.
Yeah.
But, I have talked to other parents and I have friends, and what I hear is that it's mostly just about how to not get an STI or how to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's all fear-based education.
Right.
There's nothing taught about pleasure. 99.999% of the time you have sex for pleasure, not to make a baby.
Right.
So why aren't we talking about pleasure is the question.
Yeah.
And really, if doctors would just on yearly exams for women, if they would just ask one question that could make such a big difference in how we perceive our sexualities, okay, so when you have sex, is it good? Is it pleasurable? Like, we don't even stop to think about how much we actually have sex when we don't want to, or when it's really not that great, or we don't even really care about it.
Yeah.
Because just that one question can lead you down so many different paths, but we don't even ask, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's just sex. It's mechanical.
So this question comes to mind. So we see sex in various movies, right? So, I mean, there's all kinds of different approaches to it. Now that you've gone from, you know, orgasm in one position to orgasms in multiple ways, is there any accurate representation, or is it, you know, is it very individual, I guess, is my question, because I think, again, we go back to these outside influences and the outside visions we get, and they may or may not be right. We don't know for sure.
It is my core belief and teaching that every person, every human on this planet has an original sexual essence, that an original sexual expression. And often that expression, it can be, you know, like that you can come here with a certain expression, and it can also get tweaked a little bit over time. Like, it can get blueprinted. Your sexuality gets blueprinted in early, early, early childhood.
Yeah.
Under three years old. And some of those early experiences will blueprint you into, well, I mean, there's like, Jaya came up with the erotic blueprints, if you've ever heard of that. But it's like, some people are wired as a sexual blueprint. Some people are wired as a kinky blueprint. Some people are wired as an energetic blueprint. Some are a sensual blueprint, and some are a shapeshifter blueprint. So there's different ways that humans get wired sexually. And we all have this authentic sexual expression that is uniquely ours, just like every personality is different, just like, you know, be you. What does that mean? Be you. Okay. Well, it's the same thing sexually, except people don't really, well, we don't really talk about sex very much with our friends, or, you know, if we do, there's usually a lot of self-criticism or comparisonitis syndrome. Like, oh, well, it's not this, if I'm not having sex like her, then that means there's something wrong with me. Right. Or if I'm not having 10 orgasms, then I'm not doing it right. Mm-hmm. So there's this, a lot of judgment and self-criticism that we put on ourselves about our own authentic sexual expression that shuts it down. Mm-hmm. So, like if you were thinking of it like lollipops, like there's all sorts of different flavors of lollipops. Well, it's the same thing with sexuality. Like what you see is on media is just maybe the strawberry flavor is the most common, but that doesn't mean that's all the freaking flavors there are.
Right? There are as many flavors as there are, I don't know, noses on the planet, right? Wow. And your culture, I assume, influences that as well. Even beyond, you know, you mentioned patriarchy, you mentioned a little bit of religion, but culture definitely influences that too. I think it's the Japanese culture that teaches women to be very childlike, in a subservient kind of way, and then you have other cultures that teach other ways. I don't know that there's one that teaches women to be strong in a feminine way. I learned to be strong in a masculine way. Mm. You know, I could scream and yell and pound my fists on the table. But in exploring the feminine side of myself was unknown foreign territory for me. Mm-hmm. Took a while to get there. So there's still a bit of that. So culture definitely plays a role. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a lot of cultural repression around like the wildness of female sexuality. So our culture is actually terrified of some flavors of sexuality that can be really wild and ecstatic.
Right.
And a lot of women, or primal even, primal sexuality is something that's not encouraged very much in societies either. So it's like, it's all societal, religious, familial, cultural conditioning that, puts a wall and a fence around what's okay.
Yeah.
And until you come back into right relationship with the part, that inner critic and that judgmental part of you that you adopted. Like, this inner critic part of you gets ingrained in your psyche as a way to get love, safety, and belonging when you're growing up.
Right.
But there's a time, like when you're 27, you're like, is this really all there is, sex? Right. It's worth it to you to go and explore the inner workings of your mind that have kept you from being able to express who you are and figure out what you want and what you like sexually.
Right.
I hear that all the time. Women are like, I don't know what I want. I don't even know who I am as a sexual person. I don't even know what that means, much less how to ask for what I want, because I don't freaking know.
Yeah.
So there's so many women, like postmenopausal years, that are going through massive sexual awakenings right now because they're just like, finally, I have the freedom and the time, and I'm not going to get judged by society anymore to like have a sexual awakening at 60 or whatever.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
An amazing thing. So tell me what you mean by primal sexuality.
So being able to tap into primal urges, like ecstatic states of being. So I'm also a tantra teacher, and tantra has like the neo-tantric practices. There's two different ways to talk about tantra. One is the very spiritual practice of tantra, which I love, and it's my spiritual path that comes from India. And then there's Neo Tantra, which is founded by Osho back in the 1960s, if you've heard of Osho before.
I haven't.
The Neo Tantric practices are, they're very relevant in our modern era because they help people get out of their stuckness really fast. So primal sexual rituals and practices are practices that I teach clients to be able to get out of their stuckness, to get out of freeze responses, to get out of their limitations, to find liberation in their body, to express themselves sexually or otherwise, not even just sexually, but so primal rituals are a way to help you break out of the limited expression that you have, or the feeling like you're trapped and you can't express your body, and it feels really uncomfortable. Of course it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's about, tantra is about everyday liberation. It's about liberating yourself from conditioning and trauma.
That's really fascinating. I've heard the phrase tantric sex, but it's not really, it's never been explained in terms of its core purpose, if you will. So that's really fascinating. It comes down to self-expression at the root of it. Yeah. So self-expression, who are you? What is the truth of you? And how then do you express yourself in the world? That's an exploration I've gone through personally, which has been really fascinating to go through and has created an opportunity for boundaries. So I think in terms of boundaries, because lots of women don't have solid boundaries set. And this sounds like the opposite of, but I don't think it is. I think it comes back to who are you and what is important to you and what do you want for your life? And this is a whole nother area, like sex and sexual expression is a whole nother area.
Well, it's not about not having boundaries. It's about finding them sexually, because most women will spend their entire life never asking their vaginas if they actually want to be penetrated. I could ask any random woman on the street if she's ever actually asked her vagina if it wants to be penetrated. And I guarantee you 99% of women will tell you, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Lack of consent, because no one at our age or older was ever taught the damn thing about consent, much less self-consent.
Right.
So it's common knowledge nowadays for people my age and younger. So I consider myself one of the oldest millennials. Like, I grew up with a cell phone, I grew up with internet and an email address. I grew up with that shit.
Older millennial.
But I'm like on the edge, right? Like,
right.
And my age and younger tend to know what consent means with a partner, because that topic came, like, people started talking about that. Like, I had a stepdaughter for a while who was a teenager when I was helping raise her, and her growing up in, you know, 2010 to 2020, whatever, it was totally different. Like, no one, like, every kid, even in freaking Louisiana where I live, and it's, you know, even here, it was like, nobody gave a shit if you were a girl and you made out with a girl. Like, that was even 20 years before when I was going to high school, like, that would have been crazy, right?
Right. So
just how much more we've progressed in just 20 short years. Like, there's just no, like, nobody gives a shit anymore. So there's generally a little bit more awareness around, you know, inclusivity and consent and what that means with another partner.
Right.
But still, even millennials don't know what the fuck self-consent even means. And that's because no one has even taught them what getting in touch with your body and asking your body, like, actually having a conversation with your pussy, mm-hmm. and like, okay, what it, and women are terrified. They tell me all the time, like, I'm actually scared to ask because I know she's going to be a no. And if it's a no, maybe it's going to be a no forever. Maybe my husband that I've been married to for 20 years is going to think I'm rejecting him. And maybe I'll lose the relationship because I'm a no. And if I actually honor my no, I'll never get out of my no. And that's not what I have found to be true, is that the moment you can start to tap into self-consent and really learn what, again, embodied sense of what that means,
right?
That as soon as you start to listen to her, all she wants to do is to be honored.
Yeah.
All your body wants is to be listened to be acknowledged, to be honored for the freaking pure magic that she is.
Yeah.
And you spent decades not doing that, and all of a sudden you do. She wants to reward you for that. And she's like, okay, I'll be a yes now because you're finally listening, you know? Oh. So there's like this sense of, if we just slowed down enough to listen to the body, to get in the body,
yeah,
tune in to the body,
yeah,
then it often will subtly wake up your sexuality more and more and more.
Yeah. Honor yourself. Wow. This, I mean, it just so ties in with the core of the work that I've done for myself and hope that I get to do with my, my friends and clients as well. Is, I love that idea. Honor yourself, honor your spirit, honor your body. I speak in terms of food and nutrition and supplementation and sleep and sunshine and things like this. But what a huge piece of this is not included in the discussion is to honor your pussy.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's very emotional. Like, I can feel there's this emotion coming up for me, even in this conversation. I can only imagine as you go through the work, how much of this, because as so many people are disconnected from their emotions and feelings and repressed them so much. Like, I don't have time for that. I can't feel that. I can't cry. There's no tears allowed, etc. How much of that starts to come up? I can imagine as people go through your program, how much of that becomes, you know, it blossoms open for, as an opportunity for redemption and healing.
Yeah. And it definitely takes you being ready.
Yeah.
That's a relative term, because you're never going to really be ready. Just like when you decide to have kids, if that's a decision for you, you're never ready, right?
Not ready. No.
What I mean by ready is, like, there's got to be a certain level of understanding around, like, an education around where you're at versus where you want to be, and then understanding the bridge and what it's going to take to get there.
Right.
That's kind of why I have a podcast in the first place, because it helps people to get to that point of understanding, wow, this is what's really going on. All that shit advice I read in Cosmo. Sorry, Cosmo. All that shit advice
to have good sex with your partner, right?
500 ways to give a blowjob. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, like all that shit advice never got to the source of the problem in the first place. And, you know, like educating people on what it is that's blocking them from what they really want and going deep enough. So by being ready, I mean that you have to be willing to go deep enough and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to do that, I can't help you.
Yep. I'm with you, sister. You got to dig into it. You got to be willing to be uncomfortable to find the other side of it, which is intense comfort, right? It's a level of peace that it's hard to describe.
Yeah, you have to be courageous.
Yeah.
It takes a level of courage to do this. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it takes a lot of courage and heart to be able to go and do the level of work that I take people through, because it's deep and it's intense and it's not gonna be fun, and you're gonna think you're failing all the time, and you're not, and it's okay. That's why there's lots of levels of support.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Failing is, to me, lessons that need to be learned. It's contrast. So it's, you know, how far are you from your center alignment? If the more uncomfortable you are, the further you are, and as you get closer to your center alignment, the more comfortable you get, and the easier it just flows. You know, where it used to take me an hour to get through things, it now takes 10 minutes to get through things. Like, I've, you know, worked through it so often, and you talk to speed, the neo-tantric speed. I feel like this, the energetic experience of people on this planet now is faster than it's ever been. And there is a connection, I believe, to spiritual awakening that is neglected if we neglect our sexual center, if you will. And there's just a better achievement, I think, of clarity of spirituality when there's clarity in that space as well.
I honestly, it is my belief that you're spiritually bypassing if you have not worked on your sexuality. That there, you cannot deny a core part of your humanity and consider yourself spiritual, or you cannot like not look at it and call yourself spiritually enlightened or awakened, because you're not.
Right.
My opinion. Maybe you don't agree with me, or whoever's listening doesn't agree with me, but this is, I just don't, I grew up Southern Baptist and around a lot of Catholic people in Cajun country. And they're like, all growing up, it never made sense to me. How could you be a celibate man as a priest and give people relationship and sex advice?
Right.
Just never made sense to me.
Right.
And, you know, and that's because, like, in most spiritual traditions and religions, there's this idea that in order to be enlightened and spiritual, you have to ignore your sexuality and not let, like, you can't identify with that part of your humanity in order to get to God. And this is why I fell in love with Tantra and Taoism when I first learned about it, because they were the first spiritual practices I have ever encountered, and shamanism somewhat as well, that these mystical traditions of Tantra and Taoism, that they absolutely thought the opposite. They're like, no, actually, your sexuality is a portal to God, and you can't get there without it.
Yeah.
That it is the basis of all our humanity. And if we cannot accept something as simple as our sexuality as a core human need and a core part of who we are as human beings, then my God, right? How in the world are we going to get to God if we can't even accept that about us as being a creation, an expression of the great God and Goddess itself?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, our sexuality is an expression of the god and goddess making love. And it's a beautiful expression of our spirituality.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it was such a draw to me because, like, I resonate with that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
That absolutely does make sense. My spiritual path has been self-led, mostly. I'm a bit of an independent person. Actually, I'm really independent. When I decided I needed to get healthy, I went to school so I could get myself healthy. That's how that happened. Mm-hmm. So this piece of it, though, has more recently come to my awareness as an element of, I'll call it a missing element for me, of spiritual practice and necessary to be explored. I suspect there's a lot of people, well, I'm sure you run across a lot of people in the same situation. Because we have, to your point, so many years of repression and not talking about it and shame and you know the mechanics. Here's the fear of it. Now go try and enjoy life.
Yeah. Well, there's just this huge push to separate the sacred from the sexy. And that's always been a part of the patriarchal system in the first place. But merging the two is what I really think is needed more than anything. And being able to experience our sexuality as a sacred act changes how we feel about it. And it releases us from the shame and guilt and oppression that we've had for so long.
Mm-hmm. How do you think sacred space integrates as well?
Sacred what?
Sacred space. You know, there's a lot of discussion in spiritual practice about sacred space, external and internal. How do you think that plays in or is a piece of this puzzle?
So how to create sacred space for your sexuality, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Well, that's what all Tantra and Taoist practices are.
Is it? Okay.
They're giving you a ritual to create sacred space, to experience the body and sexuality as sacred. So it's very ritualistic. Every JDAG practice, like the first thing in our welcome calls for my programs are teaching women, okay, so this is a sacred practice that you're going to be doing, a ritual that you're going to be doing almost every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's how you can set up your space physically in the physical realm to experience this, this ritual. And, you know, like I give them, different, you know, yoga mats they can buy or different sheepskin rugs or whatever, you know, fake sheepskin, whatever, and then, like, incense, candles, having everything set up in a way that you like it, like setting up an actual space in your house to create a safe place to drop in. And most of my clients, they don't all, but most of them have kids, they're moms. And like in my first group program, I had one with 5 kids, one with 4, like a lot of them have multiples, and it's really difficult to get a sacred, safe place in your house. Where but that's part of why they join my program, because they don't know how to do that, and they can't do it because they cannot for the life of them ask their partner to help out. Because they don't feel worthy of taking just 10, 15 minutes a goddamn day to themselves connect with their body and sexuality. And that to me is the saddest fucking thing on the planet.
Yeah.
That a mom of 5 kids or 4 kids or whatever, 1 kid or even none, does not feel worthy to take 15 minutes out of her day and ask for what she needs to be completely uninterrupted. Like, that is so sad. But that is the state of most women in 2020.
Wow. I did it accidentally. I did it. It became a matter of we were in a much smaller house than we are now. We took an attic space next to our bedroom, converted it to a master bathroom, and it was large enough that I could put a yoga mat in. So I said to my husband, I'm like, this is my space. When the door is closed, don't even knock. I'll come out when I'm ready. And it became that space where I infused it with my energy, and I infused it with the idea that this is a place of peace and a place for me and a place for me to connect and to do what I needed to do. And so we moved into, I designed our new house and we built it, and I built a room upstairs that is exclusively mine, and they must knock before they come in. And when I'm up there, it is, I find myself getting irritated now that they interrupt my period of time that I set aside for myself. My husband still occasionally gets confused by it. He'll come in and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just meditating. He's like, okay, I just want to make sure you're okay. Like, he's very confused by it. So I do understand, having come from being, I was, you know, corporate America, an executive, climbing the ladder, working 55 hours a week too. I have two boys. But yeah, we've got to train them. We got to teach people how to treat us, right? So a piece of that is allowing ourselves space and then teaching them, this is my time and my space and my place. Don't mess with it, please.
Oh, but you would be surprised how many women cannot. Or the, I could pay them $1 million and they still couldn't do it.
Wow.
They still could not.
Oh my goodness.
Do it.
Wow.
So many. And I don't know if it's my Southern attitude, but one thing I never lacked growing up, and I give my family credit for this, is that I have always had really great boundaries around what's mine and what's other people's and around my time. And there are a couple of women out there. There's women out there that do have that, but it is very few and far between. And I would say that is one of the gifts that I got given being born into the family I was, because I did have a lot of shit around my sexuality and body, but I did get really good boundaries. So I've never struggled with that with my own kids, because I'm just like, no, this is how it is. Like, mama's going to do her practices and you are not interrupted. If you got any questions, you go see this person. You know, like, that's always really clear and easy for me to do, but I have found most women cannot do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's fundamental. It really is fundamental. It's going to be hard to get anywhere if you can't carve out 15 minutes of uninterrupted. And it isn't even, it's the distractions that come along. I've got to shut my phone off, and if I get a text message, it'll be okay that I don't answer it for 15 minutes. There's no house burning down. There's nobody dead. It's okay. I can let that go for 15 minutes while I take care of me, even a bath time.
Yeah, it's the people pleasing and the overgiving. These are fond nervous system responses that many mothers and wives, like if you really identify with being a mother or a wife,
it's
very likely that you have adopted that nervous system response in order to consider yourself a good wife or mom, because that's what's socially acceptable to give all of yourself and to sacrifice for your kids and your partner. But it's like these taboos are changing, that we know that that is not healthy.
Right.
That is not okay. That breaks down your immune system and makes you sick over time.
It does.
And it can give you cancers, and it can give you all sorts of autoimmune disorders, which I know you're very well
informed. Very familiar with. Yes. Yeah. 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 I would say people pleasing to the point where I was willing to run myself absolutely to the point of almost disability to please my employers. You know, I was the overachiever to make sure that I was coaching soccer. I was on the board for soccer. I was doing this. I started the community garden. I did this other thing. My boys were taken care of. We had the house, we had the cars. I was right up there with everyone else in terms of people pleasing. And, I would say for me, it's been an 8 or 10 year journey of deciding who I am, who I want to be, what's important to me, and then saying to myself, you are worthy of having what you want, not what someone else decides is right for you, but what you want. And so I resonate completely. And I was raised by very strong women who were very strong in the business world, but as I see it, not strong in their personal lives, not strong in their family situations. Giving over to the husband or the man of the house, control, which I hear in many religious circles, the amount of giving over to the husband, you know, this autonomous control that we really need to have. And it benefits them. I mean, my husband's far better now that I stand on my own 2 feet and I take care of myself. He wouldn't have agreed at first, but he is far better now. And so are my boys.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I like, too, that it gives them a sense that it's okay that they find a woman and allow her, or a man, whatever their choice is, but they find a partner and allow that partner to be themselves. Because their relationship happiness should be a lot better as well.
We are completely redefining what relationship means in society right now. I think we have no idea what relationship means out of a contractual marriage. And that we, my age group is, I had heard some astrological thing that was pretty poignant. Around 30 something year olds right now, there's something astrologically that was going on when we were born in the 80s that that was meant for us to change completely the structure of relationship, but what it means to be in relationship. And I just think it's so funny because you know, like when I got in my 30s is when I started getting into this work, and so many other people did too. Like there was just this mass, and like 15 years ago, there was this mass influx of health coaches. And like within the last 3-4 years, there's been this mass influx of relationship and sexuality coaches. And I think it's so interesting that that's where we're at, because what we have been, like the level of consciousness of relationships is it's always been contractual. It's always been about you do this and I do this.
Yes.
And if you do this, I will give you this. And if I do this, you will give me this.
Right.
That is a contractual relationship. We are on a next level relationship and we don't really know what that even means.
Yeah. But
we know that it comes from two people standing on their own 2 feet.
Right.
And being autonomous beings. Fully capable. There's no more of this "you complete me" bullshit. No, you're an autonomous being.
I complete me.
Yeah,
right.
But what does that mean?
Yeah,
we're just now figuring out what does that mean when two autonomous people who are able to stand whole and complete and successful on their own 2 feet, when they choose each other, what happens?
Right.
What is the possibility there? We don't even really know. Maybe some people know because you have it. If you have that, freaking awesome. But my sense is that you probably don't, because you are in a contractual type relationship.
Yeah.
Where there is a you do this, I do this, and this is how we meet in the middle sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, like I've seen so many women that have wanted to sign up for my programs, and they tell me, I have to go ask my husband.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what? Why do you need to ask your husband for permission? Is this the 1950s? You know,
right?
Thought your best that. And then there's some that are just, you know, they're financially disempowered themselves. So, you know, it's like women having financial power, political power these days, it's changing how we do. We don't have to be in contractual relationships anymore. It's completely unnecessary for a woman to have to do that. Many women are still in it, but it's not necessary.
Well, I mean, I'm a handful of years ahead of you age-wise. And so, yeah, very traditional. You know, you go to school. In my case, college was acceptable. So I went to college and then I got married. My grandfather said to me, I know you're going to college to find a husband. My grandmother said to me, you don't ever rely on a man for anything. So that was a really interesting conversation between the two of them when I announced that I was going to college. So I go to college, get a very classically male job in manufacturing, really did well in my career, not happy. But the contractual relationship around marriage was very traditional, right? We got married a couple of years later, we started having kids. We had an agreement, you know, that we were going to have children, and two, maybe three was the discussion. Like, it was very, very, you know, as you've mentioned, contractual. And I recall there's a couple of movies that I watch. I like the Victorian era movies. And there are two that I recall specifically the characters say to a female character say to a male character, if you think marriage for a woman is not financial, you're crazy. Because for so many years, it was financial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it still is for most women.
Yeah. And so that leaves the concept of I can be me, and I can be me sexually. I can be myself physically. I can have my own group of friends. I can do my own things, and then we can do stuff together. It leaves aside all of that. And I really do like the fact that we're redefining it, and coming into our own. And I've said to both my kids who are, you know, older, they're both adults now, young adults. And I've said to both of them, I have no expectation that marriage is a piece of your decision. If that's what you decide to do, then you make that decision. That's great. I hold no expectation for you to do that, which, was not the case with my parents. At all. There's an expectation that you got married.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Wow, there's so many layers of this. Hadn't even thought about even a portion of it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, that's why we have these conversations, right?
Yes.
I think we could go on forever. But attention spans are shorter. So
yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you're okay with it, I want to think about and even ask a handful of my clients and close friends if they would be open to further discussion. You know, this is a skill set. I have my skill set. You have your skill. Your skill set is amazing and I think is absolutely needed for women, especially right now as we emerge into the next phase of what's coming. So would love to invite you back for an additional conversation. And then you can help many more women that way.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So let's wrap this up. Do you have anything more you'd like to say to people that are hearing this?
Oh, I think we've covered so much already. That was a lot.
Well, good. How do they find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, so you can go to themultiorgasmicmama.com, and mama is spelled M-A-M-A, and you can find my podcast there, or you can go subscribe and listen on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, just awesome. By looking up The Multiorgasmic Mama.
Sweet. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So keep doing this incredible work. Let's keep drawing women forward and into their power. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank
you. All right. Have a good day. Hi, it's Juliana Sauber, traditional naturopath and health detective. We often have mysteries in our health. We aren't sure why something is happening. It keeps coming back and we can't get any answers. I was in the same place that you're in, and that's why I studied naturopathy and am so passionate about helping you to solve your health mysteries and create a lifestyle that helps you to be healthy, to be in control of your health and feel confident going through the world. In addition to helping you to manage the energy flow in your body, with helping you to resolve emotional traumas and turmoils, to cleanse and detoxify, to feel amazingly well, to be happy in your life, settled, and coming into your own, empowered and strengthened, and knowing who you are and what you want in life.
one-on-one consultations are available, along with energy and emotional release sessions, bioenergetic analysis, which allows you to answer so many questions about what your body needs to be at its most optimum and healthy. You can find me at www.wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal Center on Facebook. My phone number is 269-815-6354, and also Defy Gravity on all podcast major platforms, Facebook and Instagram. Don't be slowed down because you're not in Michigan. I can work with anyone, anywhere. So if you're ready to solve your health mysteries, if you're ready to get your energy balanced and flowing well, to be peaceful, happy, and to know what your life is going to look like for the future, then please get in touch with me and let's get you started on an amazing program. Take care. God bless. Have a great day.